Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
We're so back. Pause. No. No, we're not. What's up, everybody? Welcome to West by Pod, a podcast about WVU football, the Big 12 Conference, and being stuck right in the middle. I'm Joel Bracken at WV Stats Guy. He's Jordan Pinto at Game Day Shorts. We're eight games in to the football season for West Virginia. I mean, we're two-thirds of the way done, and we're sitting at 4-4. Get a big win on the other side of the country last night. I don't know. We were just chatting before the pod, kind of mixed feelings. How are we doing, Jordan?
This team's so dumb, man. This team is so stupid. Like, I don't know what to make of it, honestly. Like, I thought, I was actually texting my buddies about this. I thought it was hilarious. Kirch tweeted about it too. But like, it feels like we are uniquely gifted at controlling football games that we still end up having to sweat out at the end. Because like, I mean, we kicked their ass for what, 3.5 quarters? And then it comes down to, again, you know, we have to get a first down to try and run the clock out. And, of course, you know, it's just like Vietnam music playing in the background, explosions going off, and you're just thinking about the Pitt game. And it's just like, dude, this is like, if we blow this one, don't even let this motherfucker back on the plane. But, you know, hey, brilliant coaching, brilliant or just absolute insanity. We put Jalen Anderson in on the biggest play of the entire fucking game and then throw him the ball. And it works out, and it's just like, what? Why are we putting him in that situation? But okay, you know, I guess it worked, so good for us. But yeah, I don't know, mixed feelings. Like, I mean, it was a good win. I don't think Arizona's any good, but good. You know, if we're gonna fire this guy either way, I'd rather win games and fire him than you know, completely crater. So I don't know. Where are you at with it?
Hey, a win's a win. I'm trying to enjoy them all, especially in this day and age. It felt like a game that we were figuring out how to manage. I mean, we'll break it down a little bit more in a bit, but it felt like we were in total control. And then, you know, when we get the ball back with 4 minutes to go, if we don't pick up a first down or two, I'm pretty confident we're losing the game. It's like, oh, they're gonna, like, there's no way we're gonna stop them if we give them the ball and they know they have to pass it. Like, yeah, so we'll get into that a little bit more in a bit. But yeah, it's you're 4-4. You got through October, and you got a month in November where every game is pretty winnable. But every game in this conference has been winnable. It's a crazy conference. We're going to switch it up today. We're actually going to start with some Big 12 chat just because I feel like this conference doesn't make sense. I mean, there's so many things, there's so many different perspectives. I mean, I think the one I just want to point out to start is, like, I saw this tweet, but you know, your top five Big 12 preseason poll was Utah, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Kansas, Arizona. Utah picked to win the conference. They're 1-4 right now in conference. Oklahoma State picked top three, 0-5. Kansas has led in all eight games in the fourth quarter. They are 2-6, 1-4 in conference. And Arizona, we just saw them. They're 1-4 in conference. So Kansas State's the only one of the top five who has won more than a game in the conference. And they've all played five or more. So weird conference. And
it's right down, man.
It's out there. It's out there for anybody. I mean,
yeah,
we, you know, it stinks that I don't think we're really going to be contending. Two losses just feels like too much, even if we went out, which I don't think is an unreasonable thing. Yeah, two losses might just be too much in a 16-team conference. But, man, the thing's wide open. Did you watch much Big 12 ball yesterday?
Let me scroll back through the slate. I did. I had stuff on all day. Watched BYU UCF. That's another one. I think the final score there looks a little closer than that game was. BYU continues to roll, which, again, you know, of all the things that don't make sense in this conference to me right now, that is probably A1 of just like how and why are they good. It's not even clear to me like really what they do that well. Probably starts. It doesn't seem like they hurt themselves a lot, which most of the teams in this conference seem to have a knack for doing that, us included. So, but yeah, what are they? Are they 8-0 now or 7-0? But I mean, definitely, yeah, 8-0. So I mean, you know, you'd have to say their pole position or co-pole position with Iowa State, who I think was off this week. But yeah, so watch that one. Watched a good bit of Texas Tech TCU was wild. Did you see any of that?
No, I didn't actually. That was that a midday game? I feel like I saw.
Yeah, I think it was like a 3:30.
No, I didn't catch any of that one, but Texas Tech losing, picking up their second loss in conference. How did that one go down?
Just a wild fourth quarter, like lots of momentum swing type of plays, back and forth, like a lot of, like for how many points they scored, I'd say like a lot of sloppy play. but yeah, TCU got it done in the end. I think Texas Tech had the ball with under 2 minutes, maybe under 3 minutes. And it looked like they were going to be driving to get a field goal, and actually it might have been under a minute when this happened, but they have so it wasn't Baron Morton, it was some generic creative player looking dude named I don't even know his first name, last name was Howard, and they're just like running a QB sneak to like position the ball where they want it for the game winning field goal, and he like spins out of a tackle and a defensive lineman was just waiting for him and just put his face right on the ball, and it popped out, and TCU recovered, and that was that. But yeah, kind of a crazy game, really fun midday game, like to watch as we were kind of getting ready to, you know, watch the old Golden Blue. So that was a good one. Utah, do you want to talk about Utah?
Dude, what is up with Utah? I mean, Houston now has two wins in the conference, and I don't think Houston's any good. Utah 1-4 now. They lose 17-14, a big fourth quarter for Houston to pull it out. Do you think the Utah situation is just that they don't have a quarterback that they like, and they went all in on like an eighth year senior and it didn't work because obviously he got hurt?
Maybe, but that's their own fault. I mean, it's not like this is the first time this guy's gotten hurt. Like you said, he's been playing since like the Dana Holgerson era. He's been at Utah that long, and he's been hurt for damn near half of his career, it feels like. So, you know, I don't know if they were pushing all their eggs into that basket. It was pretty stupid to do. But even so, I mean, you know, nobody, like, you can't feel bad for him, like, you know, because the rest of the roster is still what the rest of the roster is. And
yeah,
I don't know, that like, it just makes me very happy to see them week in, week out, continue to shit the bed. What you said, 1-4 in the conference now, you know, preseason favorites, I'd say, among the media, and then, you know, the fans, I think I've mentioned it a couple times, like the fans were very cocky coming into this conference. And so it's nice to, you know, see them knock down a couple pegs, hopefully. I'm sure they'll be fine. I'm sure they'll reload, be good again next year or the year after. But yeah, this year has been very satisfying from that perspective.
I always enjoy looking back on schedules, and, you know, there's always like wins early in the season that at the time feel huge. Or sometimes feel small, and then later in the year you realize like what team you beat or lost to. And I'm looking at Utah's schedule. Their first conference game was Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State was ranked 14th in the country, and Utah beat them by a field goal. And they probably were like, oh, we're legit. Those two teams were ended up to be just terrible. It was just no good. That was the only win in conference either of the teams had. So it's just been upside down for Utah this year. So, yeah, welcome to the Big 12. Otherwise, let's see. Oklahoma State picked up their fifth loss in conference, 0-5. Bowman threw it for 360, but didn't get it done. Baylor improves to 2-3 in conference. That was 38-28. Did you watch the Sunflower Showdown? Yeah. K-State, Kansas. That was a really good game. Kansas State really – I feel like they couldn't get it into gear for a while, and then – they needed pretty much all the time on the clock to pull that one out. Kansas has been a team I mentioned a few minutes ago. Like, they've been in every game they've played. They've just lost pretty much all of them. They've led in the fourth quarter in every game and are 2-6.
Yeah, six straight one possession losses. I mean, you know, like we've been bitching and moaning more than our fair share, I feel like, about how this year's gone for us, dude. We would be on suicide watch if we had the season that they're having. Like, I mean, you know, obviously our game, probably a game they shouldn't have lost. Illinois, UNLV should have won both of those games. I mean, yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, almost an unfathomable string of bad luck. Doesn't feel like it can be sustainable. But every week they find a way to get that L. So, yeah. Another team where it's like, you know, maybe you're getting a little too big for your britches. Like, welcome back to reality after the last kind of 2 years. They've kind of become the darlings. So,
yeah. And then last game other than us, Cincinnati at Colorado. Colorado pulls this one out and proves a 4-1 in conference. I mean, I think right now there's four teams that are in the race to get to the Big 12 championship game. There's two undefeateds. It's BYU and Iowa State. And there's 2-1 losses. It's K-State and Colorado. Like I said, I just feel like two losses is too many in this conference. If the second place slot slides down the two losses, it's going to end up in like a six-way tie or something. I mean, there's a lot of teams that are going to potentially have two losses. So if you're ruling that out, I think there's four teams, and Colorado is one of them, which I think is maybe the most surprising to me. I mean, BYU is a pretty big surprise, but Colorado, like, I just didn't feel like they were coming into the season the kind of team that was going to compete week in, week out. You know, they had a pretty bad loss to Nebraska earlier in the year, 28-10.
Looks bad. Looks worse now.
It does. And, you know, otherwise, they kind of struggled with North Dakota State, which is not a bad – that's a really good FCS program, but, you know – They didn't inspire a lot of confidence to start the year. And then since those 2 weeks, I mean, their only loss is to K-State by a field goal, which is, in my opinion, maybe the best team in the conference. So, Colorado, I mean, looking down their schedule too, like, they're probably going to run the table. They got Texas Tech, Utah, Kansas, Oklahoma State. I mean, Texas Tech is like your only team with a winning record, I think, right now, if they have a winning record. Texas Tech's 5-3. Yeah, those other three games, Utah, Kansas, Oklahoma State. I mean, there's two conference wins between those three teams. Mm-hmm. So Colorado is like looking at 10-2. that's crazy.
Yeah, 9-3 at worst, I would think. Like you said, Texas Tech, you know, potentially give them some issues, but I don't know. Colorado has some very real red flags. They can't run the ball. They still struggle to protect the passer. Struggle, I think, to defend the run. But man, the things that they do well, they do like their A plus stuff the things they do well is probably better than anybody else in the conference's A plus stuff. Just with Shadur and those receivers, and then in the secondary on the other side of the ball, you know, they just have really good players, man. They look. I mean, you know, did you watch them? I know you said last week you hadn't watched much of them yet. Did you catch any of this game?
I caught the highlights. I didn't watch it live. I was at a Halloween party, but.
No. Yeah, they were up like I want to say they were up 31-14. I mean, they were cooking. They were in control of this game. This is another one they won by 11, 34-23, but it was they won it pretty good. I mean, they put a little beat down on Cincinnati. So I think I would probably put them of the I guess Kansas State has one loss too, huh? But I'd say they're probably that next team behind BYU, Iowa State, Kansas State. I'd probably put Colorado at fourth. I don't know what like the beta rank or the power rankings say, but they're a good team, man. They cause problems.
They do cause problems for people. I mean, they're not a team I feel like you want to play right now. But those are your four teams. Those are your four teams that are true. Those are your four teams. Yeah, we want to guard Travis Hunter in space. Or Shedeur Sanders, like we're gonna stop him running the ball on us. So looking ahead, so like I said, kind of four teams that seem like they're the reasonable like pull away pack. Looking into next week, we have only two of them in play. We got some byes next week, including West Virginia. Your two front runners playing Iowa State host Texas Tech. Iowa State has moved up to like 10th, I think, in the rankings now. So they're going to be hosting Texas Tech at home. I imagine they're going to be favored by somewhere between maybe somewhere in the range of a touchdown would be my guess. Field goal of a touchdown for Iowa State. Your other contender is Kansas State going on the road to Houston. I imagine they're going to be favored by 10 or more would be my guess. So I feel like not, you know, the Texas Tech maybe for Iowa State could cause them problems. Iowa State's at home. Kansas State going on the road. I don't think Houston's a very scary place to go play unless you play on a Thursday night. So we're never going to let it go. Otherwise, not a lot of crazy stuff on the schedule next week. So we got Arizona, UCF. Those are 2-1-4 teams. And UCF's got to start winning if we're going to cash the over. I mean, they got to win them.
I think it's too late. It's too late because we're going to beat them too. So, you know.
Yeah. Arizona State at Oklahoma State. At 7 o'clock. Not, you know, too exciting there. And then 8 o'clock, TCU, Baylor. That's usually a pretty good rivalry.
No.
Baylor, I mean, they won this weekend, right? But they feel like they're their fan base. I don't know. Did you see the pictures where they did stripe the stadium? And, like, it was just like a 2/3 empty stadium.
I mean, not surprising. Yeah, like, I mean, you know, I don't think like it's the easiest place probably to have fun at a football game. So, you know, and they're not, I mean, what you said, they've won back to back. So they beat they beat Texas Tech last week and then beat Oklahoma State this week. So maybe the juices are flowing a little bit to host TCU. Mm-hmm. But yeah, again, those are kind of two pretty, you know, I'd say mid to below mid teams in the conference. So.
Say nationally, there's 1.5 games that catch my eye nationally. The big one's Ohio State, Penn State. It's at noon, unfortunately, but that'll be a really good game. Number 4 versus number 3. And then the only other one that I have a hint of intrigue, it's on ACC Network because apparently this is an ACC game, but it's Pitt SMU. SMU is ranked. As well as, you know, Pitt is still rolling undefeated somehow. Pitt's 7-0 and they're still ranked like 19th because
they suck, man.
Their schedule is like not too crazy. So this is the first ranked team Pitt will play. They do play Clemson in 3 more weeks. So that's what we got going on. All right. Do you want to talk about the Mountaineers making the trip to Arizona? Getting out to a good start. I mean, you know, you score a field goal on a long drive, you force a turnover, you come back down and you score on a trick play and you're up 10-0. And when we're up 10-0, are you just like, man, are we going to run away with this game? Like it already felt like it was like, I didn't trust our defense, but it felt like at least like we had positive vibes and that feels like it could be a part sometimes.
No, never really felt like we were going to run. Even at 31-13, man, I didn't feel too safe just because, I mean, you know, obviously validated there with the way that the game ended. But no, definitely had positive vibes. You know, I think we were moving the ball. You know, seemed like Nico seemed very comfortable with the game plan and the way we had things laid out. I think he only had 4 incomplete passes. So, you know, I thought he did a really good job. You know, especially early on, kind of getting the ball to the right people, felt like we were kind of making it easy. You know, I feel like we threw in a lot of jet sweeps and some like orbit motion type stuff that we were saving that for Arizona when we're 3-4. Like, wait, you know, what have we been doing? Just pull the tarp off of that, you know, of that stuff. But yeah, it was good. Then the defense was, you know, looking good. You know, I think McMillan was obviously getting some catches earlier in the game, but we were keeping most of it in front of us. You know, it was all kind of in the, in the short to intermediate range, and then we were swarming them pretty well. And so, yeah, no, definitely good vibes going into halftime. You know, the thing I really hated going into halftime is we're driving the ball, have like a minute and 20 left. We're near midfield. We run like a little like draw play to CJ off tackle. It's just like, what, like, why are we not trying? Like, are we not trying to score points here? We're good with 17, you know, and like kind of turtled up offensively, end up punting it back to them. And I think we sacked the feet at end of half. So it didn't end up hurting us, but it was just like, dude, like, like, have you not, like, I've been watching us play all year. Like, we need all the points that we can get with this defense, because it's only a matter of time. We're good for at least one full bust a game in the cover, in the secondary. And, you know, so I think I was a little put off by that. But yeah, overall, I mean, I thought it was a really good game plan, like really good play calling. Got mm-hmm. guys the ball, got the right guys the ball in space. You know, hey, we got down in the goal line, and you know, Preston Fox hadn't had enough touches yet, so we had to make sure we got him a touch on a jet sweep. And it's just like, what the fuck? You know, to his credit, he's probably had a really good week of practice this week, so we had to. We had to get him the ball, you know, not Rodney Gallagher or Rick-Darius Farmer. We had to make sure Preston Fox got his touches. But, it was like I said, you know, for 3.5 quarters, we kicked their ass, I thought. Defense looked really good. And then, lo and behold, you know, it was like, and I think, I mean, this is going to be something we run into for the rest of the year. Like, teams are just not going to try and run on us anymore. Like, I don't know why Arizona tried to run on us, because, like, as soon as it got to the point where it's like, okay, they need to pass – straight down the field and what, two plays on the one, you know, and it's like situations where we know they need to pass and, you know, maybe our secondary really is that bad. I know I was talking last week, like, you can't tell me we have bottom 10 talent, but like, maybe we do. Cause like, you know, absolutely atrocious. Play calling didn't do any favors. I don't think, I don't know like what we're thinking, you know, putting Trey Lathan in a situation where he needs to be sprinting backwards 40 yards down the field trying to cover the best receiver in the country, but it happened like two or three times. So it's just like, that doesn't seem like a winning solution. I don't know. I think overall the stuff on defense that kind of pissed me off is like Monday, Neil's like, well, yeah, four special. We got to pay special attention to him. We got to do some different stuff. And like, I don't really feel like we did anything different. It felt like he's the biggest dude on the field and several times is catching the ball with nobody fucking close to him. We're just like, oh, yeah. What are we doing?
He had over 200 yards receiving. I don't feel like we schemed up him special. I mean, they targeted him 14 times. He caught 10 of them. He was getting it wherever he wanted. And yeah, it's like, I don't know. You were good for at least one busted coverage. Like, I mean, there were several. Like, if they were to have lined up five wide and just say we're passing it on every down, I would have been like, shit. Like, yeah. It's like when you're playing the CPU in a video game and they're like doing stuff that you know how to stop. And you're like, yeah, keep running that play. Like, keep running those things. It's like, why are they running against us? I don't feel like, maybe just the illusion of balance, but it's like, just throw it. You're going to beat us probably if you throw the ball. We were looking before the pod started. So BetaRank updated the numbers. I just thought it was big picture. West Virginia has the highest offensive grade in BetaRank in the Big 12. So we are 14th nationally, but the top in the conference on offensive BetaRank. It's 8th in the country in rush rank and 60th in pass rank. But when we flip it to defense, we're 15 out of 16 in the conference. So second to the bottom. 79th nationally, but listen to this split. Rush defense, the rush rank is 13th. It's the second best in the conference. The pass defense rank is 130th. That's fourth from the bottom in the whole country.
That one is confirmed by the eye test. Our offense being that high, I don't know if I buy it, but like the defense, the pass defense being that low, I'm almost surprised we're not just 134th, because Jesus Christ, we suck.
Yeah, but we're staying positive because we won a game. I thought Nico looked really good. I mean, it's like it's what we're here for. But I think Nico looked really good, actually. Like, he looked poised. I feel like I think it was the throw to Traylon Ray where he sensed the pressure, stepped up in the pocket, put the ball exactly where it needed to be, and the receiver made a play. to finish it off for a touchdown. But like that was like a pretty much perfect play for a quarterback, like sensing the pressure, stepping up, avoiding it, putting the ball where it needs to go. And there are some of those like little things, like those short intermediate passes. Like, I do feel like he threw pretty accurate balls. He put things that were like, not Garrett's strong suit. I definitely think he looks pretty solid in those things. I mean, they graded him out really well. 88 grade for PFF passing, 79th overall. I think some dings on some fumbles and stuff, but, yeah, I mean, like, really nice game from him. The running game was pretty balanced. We got you know, Jaheim and CJ both had their moments. Both had some big breakaways. One of the things that I really am thinking about, too, when I'm looking at the game, is we scored four touchdowns. Three of them were on fourth down, which is just like, you know, you fake a field goal, you have a CJ, you know, busted run on a fourth and one from like the 30 or something. And then the catch, the pass and catch over the middle to Hudson Clement was, I feel like that's like a 1 out of 10 play. Like, in terms of, you're not getting that is not going to work out like that very often. I can't believe he came down in bounds with the ball. I mean,
yeah, I thought he was out. I mean, I thought he was out live, obviously on the replay. You can see he was clearly in. Great catch. Yeah, those end of possession downs, man. Neil loves talking about it every week. Is with third down conversions don't matter. It's those end of possession downs that matter. And I think we were, let me check the box score. We were 7 of 16 on third. So just a little shade under 50%, but 4 of 4 on fourth. So so what's that? 11 of 20. So over 50%, which is really good. And yeah, I think that was probably, I mean, definitely saved us late in the game. Like you said, you know, the three touchdowns and then the conversions with under 4 minutes to go to kind of let us run the clock out. Critical plays. So yeah, good to see. You know, I thought that was pretty much the main thing that I appreciate about Nico is it seemed like he was very, very comfortable, very calm in the pocket. You know, Garrett has a little bit of like a little bit more of a hair on fire kind of a vibe. But no, I mean, your point about the trailing right play was exactly spot on. It was just like high level quarterback play of like, no, I don't need to scramble. I don't need to break the pocket here. I just need to take a half step. That guy's not gonna be able to get me. The Nico thing, like going into a bye week, is it at least a conversation? Kind of has to be a conversation, right?
I think he really played well. Like, and I think you can tell, I think the chemistry has always been good between him and Garrett. And I think just in general, the offense, like, I think doesn't seem like a Bowman situation where like some people are like, I can't believe he's our quarterback. Yeah. I think both guys have always been good, but I don't know. It's hard to say. You can't give the guy a look. Is Nico undefeated as a starter?
He's undefeated. And yeah, well, so 2-0 as a starter, Texas Tech last year. And then this one, and then he's also won all three games that he's featured prominently in, the Oklahoma State 2 years ago, Pitt last year. And then I guess Oklahoma State, I don't know if you'd count that this year, cause it was really like a quarter, but yeah. I mean, so that's kind of what I'm saying though, man, is like the guy has won every time we've put him, you know, in a situation. Obviously he looked bad against Kansas State last week, but that was, I feel like, probably a, you know, that was not a scenario where he's set up for success, but every time he's had a chance or like kind of an expectation of playing, he's looked really good. You know, I think the biggest thing, like, he's not as explosive as Garrett, obviously, definitely as a runner, probably as a passer. But like, he didn't, like, not even one time yesterday did he put a ball into a spot where I was like, actually, you know what? There was one. It was the third down that got tipped to Hudson Clement that he ended up catching. Was really the only thrower I was like, man, they had a chance. They probably should have picked that off. Whereas, you know, love Garrett, but man, he threw us out of the last two games with just questionable decisions and bad throws. And it, you know, it doesn't seem like Nico does as much of that type of reckless stuff where it's, you know, and so I don't know. I mean, a lot of that is obviously very situational and contextual within like the flow of a game and within the flow of a play. But
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't seen those kinds of mistakes from Nico to this point through five pretty extended periods of playing time. So,
yeah. And I mean, why Garrett was so successful last year, we've probably mentioned it several times on here, but you know, last year he really protected the ball and, you know, 31 big time throws, 8 turnover worthy plays last year. This year he's 9-9.
Yeah.
So, you know, through really just like six and a half games. So, already exceeding the, you know, potential turnover plays from last year. He's doubled in picks this year, compared to last year already. And yeah, just not quite the same, you know, protectiveness we got from last year. I don't know. I'm not paid to make those decisions. I don't know the extent of Garrett's injury. I don't know what Garrett wants to do after this year, like what his plan is with football or life or what it is. Like, I don't know. So I think you can definitely consider, like, Nico has not done anything to not put himself at least in the conversation or in the, you know, whatever. But if I had to guess, I think Neil is a seniority kind of guy and he's going to default back to Garrett Green. But you know, another thing too is he might not like that he hasn't been able to coach it out of Nico yet, and that might
give him an off season now. He hadn't really got his mitts on him yet.
Yeah.
My only thing though is, like, we've seen him do this. He did it with Kendall and Deggie, and then he did it again with JT and Green, right? Where it's like 4 very winnable games, we've said. Honestly, I mean, we are as good or better than every team left on the schedule. Does it look better for his job stability and for, like, the stability of the program if we go 3-1 or 4-0 with Nico and you have him back for 2 more years versus doing that with Garrett and, you know, Garrett's gone? So I think
it definitely
has to factor into the decision, yeah.
It definitely looks better, but also, like, I don't know. Like I said, is this Garrett Green's final month of football in his life? And, like, this is, you know, like, you can't just be like, hey, dude, we're sitting you because this. But, yeah, like I said, also, I don't know the extent of his injury. Like, if he was, like, close to playing and, you know, didn't, or if he wasn't anywhere close. It's hard to say. You do get the bye week, so you assume over the bye week you're going to be able to get right. And at the risk of being too cute, like, these are two guys that do complement pretty well. Like, you know, having set packages for both, like, even if Green gets the start, like, I could see, you know, you rush similar to what we did with Green when it was, you know, other quarterbacks where you want to get him in there just to shake up things. I don't know if that's being too cute. Like, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none, but it's, you know, it's a potential.
Yeah, I you know, that worked out some, but it didn't always. I would not want to get back into that situation. I think whatever decision you make, you got to stick with the decision and just ride it out. Even if Garrett does have a quick, you know, a quicker hook, if he comes in against Cincinnati and makes a couple early mistakes that put us in a hole, you know, you can't be slow with the trigger. To your point about, like, the seniority thing and all that kind of stuff. You know, something we've kind of criticized Neil for, right? Like, it feels like what a competent coach would remove that factor of emotion and, like, do the thing that he thinks gives us the best chance to win. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think we've criticized Neil for not doing that enough in the past, or at least not doing it quickly enough. And so I don't know. Again, yeah, I'm glad we're not paid to make the decision, but with the bye week looming, I think it's Nico's made it a conversation, which is, you know, I guess what you want from your backup quarterback when he gets a chance to play, right? Is you want him to go in and, like, just be like, oh, this guy's any like position. This guy's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. You want competition. It's good for the team. That's for everybody.
My buddy even texted, like, that's kind of what he said. He's like, dude, play Nico, and then worst case scenario, you have Livewire Garrett Green just, like, raring for a go to come back in and win his job. You know? Yep. So I don't know. But having the bye week definitely makes it even, you know, all that much more of a conversation, because it's like, dude, if you do make the decision to go with Nico, you got time to kind of break it to the team and to get packages in place and feel good about it. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Any other, what other positives or negatives do we want to highlight?
I mean, I think we'd be remiss just not to mention, like, cool story for Nico Markiel, just in the whole going back to Arizona where he's from, getting the start, getting the week to prepare, which, like you said, when he's gotten the time to prepare, he's really performed well. And just got to be a really cool moment for him. That's like, you know, this is, it's weird to go out and play in Arizona, but it is probably, this is, it's still what college football is about a little bit, where it's like this guy gets to go home and put on, start, you know, do the thing. So really happy for him. I don't know if I have any other like big takeaways. Like we said this a bunch of times, but you look at our losses: Penn State 7-0, Pitt 7-0, Iowa State 7-0, Kansas State is 7-1. So that's that, like 28-1 are the teams who beat us. And the teams who we have beat are Albany, which doesn't count, Kansas, who has one win in conference, Oklahoma State, who has none, and Arizona, who has one. So we've lost to teams that have not lost, and we beat teams that have not won, and we are just stuck in the weird middle where I don't know. It's like, I don't know. We said we had October, so I'll pose this as we said we had October. We went 2-2. We beat Oklahoma State and Arizona, which before the season sounded great. During the season doesn't sound as great anymore, but you get through October 2-2, and my view, that's like, so Neil Brown, it's like just enough to, you know, you can't be like throw it all away, but it wasn't, you know, we had two really big opportunities at home and we fell flat. So is that how you're feeling too? Just like, we're in the middle where it's hard to almost make a decision one way or the other on how that played out.
Yeah, I think I texted to you last night, just like, it feels like kind of the consistent spot that we've been in under Neil is like, we are kind of the point of delineation between the good teams and the bad teams in the conference, right? Where there's the good teams above us, then there's us, and then there's the bad teams below us. And it seems like we generally, you know, with a few exceptions, we generally lose to the good teams and beat the bad teams. And that equates to somewhere between 5-7 and 7-5. Depending on the year. And, you know, I think that's where we're going to be again this year. And I don't know, in my opinion, sixth year again, you know, I guess we'll see how I feel. I don't think we can fire him if we went out. Unfortunately, I would still want to shed a couple of coordinators, you know, at least on one side of the ball, you gotta change some shit, because it's a disaster. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we'll see how the last four games play out. I think I'd still want them gone at 7-5, just because, you know, it's like, if this is the, if being the point of delineation is the best we can hope for, you know, I'm ready to get off the train. So yeah, I think I'm still kind of where you are. Like, this one didn't really move the needle for me again, cause I don't think Arizona's good. You know, I thought we made them look way better than they, I mean, Fifita, dude, he gets a snap. He just stares at McMillan and then throws him the ball. And it's like, why are we not reacting to this? Why are we not changing what we're doing? I mean, half the time he plays quarterback like you're, you know, like scrambling around on NCAA football. Like, he just gets the ball and like drops back and then throws one up. And it always seemed to find McMillan's hands. And it's just like, dude, we gotta be better than this. We gotta be better than this. It's just not good enough. So I don't know. I mean, at 8-4, you know, again, I don't think you can fire him, but you gotta at least, Jordan Leslie can't be coaching here next year.
I know.
At all.
If you had to guess today, we're 4-4, four games left, at Cincy, home for Baylor, home for UCF, at Tech. What do you think the win total is? I'm gonna say 7. I'm gonna say 7-5.
I think 7. I'm sure. Like 3-1. Like you said, it is not unreasonable to expect us to win all four of those, but I don't think we will. So yeah, probably 7-5, and then we'll win a stupid bowl game and be 8-5. And
I think, you know, if you were looking right now, I'd say Baylor and UCF are wins. Cincy and Tech both on the road. You're gonna win one, lose one. That would be my just guess. So that's where we're at, and I don't know. Maybe a good time to get into questions, because I'm sure similar thoughts or topics.
We definitely have some. Let me, dude. It's always so tough to scroll through here and find these. Okay. First one, RMJH12. What do we actually have to look forward to?
Basketball season.
Yeah. Dude, did you see Josh's thing that he put in the basketball channel? Like, apparently we had a super, like, double secret probation scrimmage with Wake Forest and beat him. And, like, Wake is not ranked top 25, but they're, like, one of the very next few that's receiving votes. So, like, people think they're kind of good.
We might be kind of good.
What if we're kind of good?
I've seen some fun stats, like Evan Maya, big data scientist, doing some stuff. And he has West Virginia with, like, he has this, like, ceiling floor calculation. And the West Virginia ceiling was, like, really high.
Yeah.
It was, like, we're probably going to not be there, but, like, our upside is huge, which is exciting.
Apparently, yeah, no, I mean, the comments, I guess, if you can trust it, it was from, like, the Wake Forest board, from one of their beat writers, but it was that neither team shot it very well, but that we bothered Wake Forest with our length on defense and out-rebounded them and just, like, generally made it really hard for them to do anything with the ball, which, all for it.
Yep.
Let's do it. So, yeah, love that. So, yeah, basketball from football perspective, I mean, glass half empty, firing Neil Brown. we could maybe look forward to that and, you know, who the next coach is.
I'm looking forward to the Nico Markiel quarterback competition in spring ball. You know, if we're, you know, with Coach Anthony Becht, you know, that's going to be a lot of good content generated out of that.
Oh, man. I think just the Nico era in general. Like, I mean, if we do make a change, like, you know, it's probably going to happen now and we're just going to ride it out. Just curious to see how it looks. You know, I love Garrett. I love Garrett as much as anybody. But yeah, this year has been like all of the worst fears realized with Garrett of, you know, just kind of sloppy with the ball and can't stay healthy and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, from Saxo Steve, what was that the last time an away school plays Sweet Caroline? I doubt it, man. I think people queue us up because they want it.
I saw some clips of that. That was pretty awesome. I don't know if they even knew. I mean, they're pretty far away. I don't know if they would have inside knowledge of that, or experience, but glad that they did.
Oh, it's always fun. Yeah. Hey, we got to plant our flag and leave our mark everywhere we go. I was very impressed by how many Mountaineer fans are there. There were a lot of them. Every time they showed the stands, it seemed like. So good job, Mountaineer Nation, traveling 2,000 miles to watch a 3-4 team. Big time showing from the nation. From Semper Montani, I'll let you take this one. Who is more at fault, Jordan Leslie or the players on the roster?
Jordan Leslie, in my opinion, just because we had some guys transfer in who were performing at a pretty high level and are not performing at the same level. We've had lots of guys cycle through the program, and I was looking at it the other day. I don't have it right in front of me, but over the last 3 years, our pass defense and beta rank was like 90th or worse in the country. So some players, but you know, in this era, you just don't get the, like, you get the player excuse maybe like once, but you don't get it in back-to-back years, and you definitely don't get it in back-to-back-to-back years. You can go get dudes. We're a Power 4 program. You can attract guys. I would put it a lot more on Leslie.
Yeah, like 90-10 Leslie, something like that. I mean, I had my rant about it last week, but like you said, these dudes are coming in. You can't tell me that we have bottom 10 talent. Which means that either the scheme sucks or the way the scheme is being taught sucks. And we have these miscommunications, man. The tight end of that touchdown at a tight end.
Yep.
Where it's like there's nobody within 20 yards of him. Like, clearly a communication issue of, you know, and you know, is that maybe the players on the field calling something wrong, or is it like the coach is taking too long to get a call? Like, it does not seem like we have we don't know what we're doing. Fall back to this. We don't have a fallback point of like, what is our base defense that everybody feels comfortable with, where like all things equal and worst case scenario, we want to run this coverage or whatever. It just doesn't seem like we have that. And every week, I mean, like that tight end, the touchdown happened and I was like, well, that's, you know, we're good for one of those a week. I'm glad that it happened now. And, and then, you know, fortunately we had like two others, in the next like 6 minutes of game time. So
I have it pulled up, so I'll just give it to you. So for the last, so in the Neil Brown era, I'm looking at beta rank defense. So for the last 6 years, our pass defense rank, 2019, we were 77th. 2020, short year, weird data, whatever, but we were 9th in the country, according to beta rank. 2021, we were 27th. And then here's the last three years, 107th, 97th. We're currently 130th. So those are just the numbers. You can infer what you want, but it's been different dudes playing defense back there during that time.
And the issues seem to be the same no matter who's out there. So from Jord, how are you going to feel when we have to keep Neil, but best case scenario, fire defensive coaches? Yeah, uninspired. I don't know. Thoughts?
It's better than nothing. If we don't make any coaching changes, I'm going to be pretty pissed. If we specifically shake up the defensive room, I think it's something. Like, if we should shake up, what would this team look like if the defense was a top third defense in the conference? Would we be 6-2 right now? Would be 7-1? I mean, like, we're not that far off. I'm not saying we don't get to make these decisions, but if we cleaned house on the defensive side, brought in a new defensive coordinator or something, some guy with, you know, G5 success or maybe another power coordinator or something like that. I mean, that's something. I think it's identifying the problem and doing steps to address it. If we just keep rolling it back, that's what I'm going to be upset with.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't do something at this point, I think you start to lose the ground you're standing on in terms of holding players accountable for stuff. Yeah. Because, like, you know, I mean, they're not robots. They're people. And if you're preaching, we're going to hold people accountable. And if you don't play well, you're not going to play. And all this kind of stuff. Like, after three seasons of absolute disastrous results in the secondary, like you laid out, like if you're not going to hold the defensive fucking coordinator responsible, then like what are we doing here? So from Dr. Feelgood, question for Joel: considering how the Mountaineers traveled across two time zones, played in hostile territory, there were at least 20,000 fans there last night. It was kind of crazy. But almost blew it. How does this game affect LeBron's legacy?
LeBron's looking kind of old. I don't know if you saw some clips. I mean, like, he's still putting up numbers, but the man's looking a little...
He went off last night.
I know.
He had, like, 32.
Crazy. It's crazy because, eye test, I'm like, this dude is so washed. And then he gets, like, a quiet, like, 28-7-7. And you're like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. it's the craziest damn thing. Yeah, he's unbelievable. Tweet from Bill C. Apparently, we only had a 38% win expectancy last night.
I looked at that on, I think there people have different models. Like, when we talk about this stuff, we're usually referencing like lots of different outlets. The one I usually use is on collegefootballdata.com. They have some cool APIs set up. They gave us a post-game win expectancy 79%, which I did look it up specifically because I was like thinking about how we scored on all these fourth downs and stuff. And I was like, you know, was this game closer to a 50-50? I still will stand by, if we don't pick up a first down on the last drive of the game, we're punting it back and we're losing the game. I mean, I just felt that way. So, it didn't feel like a sure thing. I also looked at the ESPN win probability, which has lots of problems, but it is fun. And I feel like people like to quote it a lot. So it was a really visually appealing game because our win probability started around 50%, and the whole game, it just kept bumping up closer to 100. It didn't even give Arizona a huge chance late, which I would have assumed they had a larger chance. But I watch our defense a lot, so maybe that's why I felt that way.
The thing, if we don't get that Jalen Anderson third down, it probably would have fallen off a cliff.
Yep, you know? That was a big play. Oh, and I also got to admit, I did hit the Arizona over 28.5 points because I said there's no way this team's scoring less than four touchdowns on us. And I was wrong, so what do I know?
From New Name Who Dis, now that Nico has shown he's a viable quarterback, can you break down how he grades on advanced stats relevant to this offense? For instance, percentage of snaps over his head caught, and ability to read a defense when lining up with 5 seconds on the play clock coming out of a timeout.
Not on those specifically, but does have a really good play action grade, which I think is something this offense, you know, we like to use play action a lot. This season, he has an 82 grade on play action. And then I'll look at maybe like a passing depth here. Really good deep center, short center, intermediate center. Really, really good in the middle of the field. Struggles a little bit more throwing towards the boundaries. But I mean, his numbers over the middle, anywhere between zero, I mean, you could really just say the entire middle. But 0 to 10 yards, I mean, he's 12 for 16 this year. 10 to 20 yards over the middle, he's 5 for 5, 2 touchdowns, 158 NFL quarterback rating. Like, he actually really is good at the short to intermediate passes. So I think that is, if you were going to say anything, he's better than Garrett. I think there's like a poise in the pocket, that he's like a little more grounded in the pocket, maybe not happy feet. And then that, yeah, he's able to deliver the ball. And those like routine throws.
Yep. Yep. He's played well, man. From Slaw, did we have fun? Joel, did you have fun?
I had a great time. It was, it was my birthday. We were at a Halloween party. The game was on. I was having a great time. So,
happy birthday, big guy.
Thanks.
Is that 20, 29 now?
Big 2-9.
Oh, baby. Next one's when the wheels fall off, man.
Yeah, we're not talking about that.
Cherish it. Stay there where you're safe for as long as you can.
I'm going to lock in here.
I also had fun. I always have fun with football, and I especially have fun when we win. So, yes, I had fun. Ben in Chicago, are you able to break the lease at Trust HQ, or will it always be an eyesore? We actually demolished the building last weekend after the Kansas State game. So, no, we've already taken care of it. We weren't leasing it. We owned it. We owned the brick and mortar. And so, yeah, we just made the decision to cut ties there. Blew the building up. So
if we get this thing going, it's not going to be in a trust decline relation. It will be a whole new entity.
Yeah, it's.
There'll be shell companies and stuff.
Yeah, limited liability. You're going to need Ben Affleck and the accountant to trace down the actual parent company of new Trust HQ or whatever it's going to be called. from Master of Awesomeness, how tight was your ass clenched when Arizona cut the game to 1 score? Yeah, I mean, turning coal into diamonds tight for sure. dude, my buddy, when they scored to make it 19, my buddy, before they even tried the 2-point conversion, was just like, we're absolutely losing this game. Like, we are absolutely losing this game. And it was just like, oh my God. Squeaky bum time for sure. Not good. Second part of the question. And of course, is there a QB controversy now? And if so, what would you do? I think we kind of already laid that out, man. I think it has to be at least a conversation, and I would not be surprised if they make the move. For the reason we laid out, Nico's just a little bit more calm. He doesn't seem to put us in as bad of situations with, you know, reckless play or bad throws. So you can definitely see the argument both ways, but you can definitely see a pro Nico argument.
It's there. It's definitely there. I mean, yeah, it's on the table.
Looks like Cincy Year posted a tweet from Huddy Tuddy that's kind of a repeat. Would you be on board with Neil on 25 if Leslie and Shadon Brown are replaced?
I'm on board with like pretty much whoever we decide. Like, I'm going to support the team if that's the question, but like, I think a viable solution is that scenario you're laying out. Like, if we are cash strapped and we're not getting rid of Brown, that would be the best scenario to me.
Yep. Agreed. Let's see. Cool Hand. Do you think we should start Nico the rest of the year, and how would that affect LeBron's legacy? We've kind of laid that out. LeBron is also not aware that we exist. So, from Anger, I was at a wedding and didn't have cell phone service. I got blackout drunk. Do not recommend. But a win in this economy? Look at us. Woo. When will Jordan Leslie be fired? Hopefully, when is our last game?
It's like late November. So around then.
Texas Tech, yeah. Like, I wouldn't hate it if Neil just said in the post game presser, like, we get the win, and he's like, yeah, we won. We're 8-4, but Jordan's not gonna be coming home from Lubbock with us. Let me see. From WVO7, since I firmly believe he's going to win just enough to save his job, is there any reason to buy season tickets next year with a home slate of Roger Morris, Pitt, Utah, Colorado, Texas Tech, and TCU? Yeah, absolutely.
Do it.
Name a better place to have a good time on a fall Saturday than Milan Puskás Stadium, Morgantown, West Virginia.
We'll wait. We'll wait.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't. Can't do it. From WVU Knight, last four teams average 32.6 points per game and give up 24.7 points per game. Prediction for the last four games. Yeah, I think 3-1.
One wins at home. You lose one road game.
Yep. Like it. With our flawed defense, is every game going to have to be a shootout for us to win? If so, how does the team minimize turnovers best? Yeah, probably. Like, I have a hard time. You know, we did well to hold Arizona under 30. Cincinnati is probably going to get to 30. UCF, Baylor are probably going to get close to 30. Texas Tech's probably going to get close to 30. Texas Tech's an awful matchup for us, just the way that they want to throw the ball around. How do we minimize turnovers? I think we kind of talked about it. I mean, maybe you make the Nico move, man. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like he puts the ball in bad situations as frequently as Garrett has this year.
It's the most over-talked about portion of football, but it is over-talked about consistently because it's so true. Like, turnovers really do influence the game so much. Like, think if Arizona doesn't get the fumble on their first drive and goes down and just gets points, likely a touchdown. Like, that's the difference in this game. So it really does affect when you're playing in margins. It can be everything.
Yep. Rocky Mountaineer, why does this win make me feel pain? We're afflicted, man. We're sick.
We're kind of sore right now. Yeah, we're a bruised fan base.
From Akasari, with the way the season has gone, do you think we should be worried about transfer portal guys like Nico and Jaheim? No. Especially like if Neil's back. Well, shit. I mean, even if Neil's not back, I mean, those are going to be like the two guys on offense next year. And so, like, you know, where are they outside of somebody like backing up a dump truck of money? Like, I don't think Nico, especially, you know, Nico seems very in. He could have left any time over the last two seasons. But I think Nico's all in on West Virginia. Jaheim, I think I've gotten similar vibes from him, but he's one where you could see like a bigger school maybe paying some money for him. But I would be surprised if either of those guys left. I would say less than 25% chance that either of those guys are portal.
Yeah.
Portal.
I agree. I think Nico's not going anywhere because I don't know that he would jump to another power conference and start. And then I think Jaheim, if I'm a running back, like, this is the system you want to play in, right? Like, we're willing to just give you the ball a ton of times, and we got a good offensive line, and like we're committed to the run. So like, I don't know, there's much better situations for a good running back.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. From It's Supreme, why don't we target Huddy Tuddy more? Seems like a recipe for success. Yeah, it does seem that way. I don't know how many, let me pull the numbers up. I don't know how many.
The kid is good. Like, every time I think people want to shade him a little bit or whatever, like, he's played really well this year. He makes a lot of fantastic catches that I don't think he should be able to make. So, yeah, only, I mean, 42 targets.
Only two targets yesterday. I don't know. So the problem with a receiver, like, kind of the counterpoint of your thing about the Jaheim White, like, why would you want to play in a different system, is if we're playing the way that we want to play and controlling the game the way we want to control a game, we're going to be 70% run.
Yeah.
And so you figure that if you run 65 plays in a game, you know, 40 of those are going to be runs. 20 of them are going to be, 25 are going to be passes. And, you know, so, I mean, there's only so many targets out there. But I agree. No, I mean, like, to Joel's point, the guy makes plays. The guy's a good player. So I'm with you. Traylon's good too, man. We got two good receivers.
Traylon had a great game yesterday.
Yeah. Let's see. John Radcliffe, is Neil Brown going to rip his mask off on Halloween and reveal that he's actually Chan Gailey? Yeah, maybe. Let's see. I think that's all. I think that was the last one.
All right.
Shade under an hour. Look at us.
Good work, team. No game this week. Rest, recover, watch others suffer. And we'll be back, you know, at the end of the college football week. We'll talk our Big 12 stuff and get ready for the final third of the season. Showdown in Cincy coming up. So it should be a good one. Make sure you're in the Smoking Musket Discord if you're not already. And make sure you're following Smoking Musket and West by Pod with underscores on Twitter. That's all we got. Thank you guys as always for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Take care, gang.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.